Okay, so I want to at least begin the topic of, see how far we get, but we can at least start the topic of Mazikim, Shedim, a little bit. Malachim, Chulei. I want to start with the following. There are, of course, different opinions, perspectives on the various statements, both in Chumash and in, well, there aren't many, but those that there are, in Chumash, as well as especially in Chazal, concerning Shedim / Mazikim, what they mean. And I'm not trying to claim that what we're going to discuss is the approach or the only approach or the whole story, but I would like to try to share with you a perspective that I think is very helpful. For our purposes, the same thing. Okay. Now, they're used fairly interchangeably. Okay? I'm not saying they can't. They're used fairly interchangeably. Okay, let's take a look and see. So, first of all, this is not on the source sheet. We're not going to look at this right now. But in the second parak of Chagiga, of course, we have the discussion of Mazikim, in which the point is made pretty clearly that whatever you understand these to be, we're not talking about physical entities. That much is clear. They don't have a body. We're not talking about something in a physical sense. Another thing that I want to call to your attention is, and I think this is fascinating, and is also not in the sheet, but I just want to mention it quickly before we get started. A fascinating Midrash Tanchuma. Midrash Tanchuma tells a story about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sitting in the Beis Medrash, and this person who is a min, who is a sectarian, whatever he is, perhaps a Judeo-Christian or whatever, but whatever he is, he's not an Orthodox Jew, let's say. He walks in and he says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what's this stuff that you people do with this paraduma? It's so bizarre. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, tell me, have you ever been possessed by a demon? Been possessed by a shade? Possessed by a demon? And the guy, of course, it's such an entertaining story. It's one of these great midrashim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, have you ever been possessed by a demon? He says, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but not much. He says, me? No, never. Not. Okay, you ever have a friend who was possessed by a demon? He says, oh, yeah, sure. Definitely. Yeah, right? You may recognize this technique. Okay, but in any case, he says, have you ever seen a demonic possession? He says, absolutely. Yochanan ben Zakkai says, so what did they do for him? He starts describing what they did, this type of exorcism that they did to get rid of this demon. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, that's what we do. A person becomes tameh. What we mean by that, they're possessed by this demon. We sprinkle this, mechatar on him. The demon leaves, and then everything's good. No one leaves till the end of the story. Another minute. That's not the end. Okay, if you have to leave, wait one more minute. This min leaves the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim turn to him and say, Rebbe, that's a nice apologetic answer you gave to this guy who's not Jewish or not, certainly not in an enormous sense. What are you going to tell us? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, listen, clearly, lo amet metame, v'lo amayim metarim, ela gzera gazarti, chok chakakti, and so on and so forth. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that there's no such thing as tumah, no such thing as taran. This is not a substance called tumah. It's a concept. It's a halacha. There's a halacha category of tameh, a category of tara. And the Torah says, you do this process, and the person is now tara. The person's in this circumstance, considered tameh. Okay, and this is something that's echoed. This last statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is echoed by the Rambam and by other Rishonim. Not just the Rambam, many Rishonim. Beseder. That's sort of the Rambam has a fairly close quote of this. What's fascinating is Yochanan ben Zakkai is roughly contemporary time where, to best my knowledge, in Christianity, demonic possession was considered a, you know, a normal belief, the normal thing that people believed in. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his Talmidim, of course, understood that, you know, this is shtus. Of course, that's not what's going on. That's ridiculous. It's important to keep that in mind as we go into the discussion of what Chazal have to say about Shadim and so on. So I'd like to really begin with the Mishnah Avot. The Mishnah Avot is fascinating. The Mishnah Avot talks about things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmasha. Okay? Twilight. The transition between the 6 days. Looks like some people had creative readings of this Mishnah, right? Okay. I have no idea. I don't want to know. Okay. Kitzur. We have the 6 days of creation, whatever that means, and we have Shabbos of the week of creation. Okay? Right? The week of creation, we have the 6 days. Okay? I don't necessarily mean that literally, but the 6 days of creation, the seventh day, the way the Torah describes it, 6 days, seventh day, and then you have Bein Hashmasha. Right? Bein Hashmasha, the twilight, the transition between the two. What the Ritva, for example, refers to as a period that is halachic, that is a safek yom, safek laila, bivadaut, right? Meaning, it's not that we don't know what it is, that's what it is. It is, in some ways, day, in some ways, night. It is a transition between the two. It partakes the properties of both. Okay, bein hashmasha. It is, again, there are certain types of safek. They're not suffic because we don't know, but that's their status. Their status is suffic. It is neither this nor that. It is something in between. Bein Hashmasha. So, I'd like to think out loud for a moment. What does it mean that something is created Bein Hashmashot of the Erev Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishit? And I'd like to suggest, along the lines of the interpretation of some Mefarshim, such as the Rambam and others, that what the Mishnah is saying is as follows. Everything that exists was created during Sheish Yimei Bereishit. On Shabbos, there is no physical creation. There's a cessation of physical creation. There's no physical creation on Shabbos. What is between the two? What is between that which is created and that which is not created? What's the twilight between the two? What's the Bein Hashmasha? So what's between being created and not being created? And you have a big clue. We have a whole list of examples. So what is something that is... What? Supernatural. Perhaps. Although... Maybe. And that's certainly how some would interpret it. But I'm not sure why supernatural is between Shabbos and the 6 days of creation, necessarily. Right? Well, Shabbos is supposed to be spiritual. I don't know if spiritual and supernatural is the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay, perhaps that could be in between. I want to give you another suggestion, which is similar, but maybe a little shade of difference. I suggest that what Bein Hashmashot of Bein Hashmashot represents in this Mishnah is that which is created, but only in terms of potential. Okay, not actuality, but potential. Meaning that if you look at these examples, and certainly the way some Rishonim understand it, is that what does it mean, for example, that the Pi-Haton was created? It means that the potential for such a thing to happen was placed into nature. It wasn't actual. You didn't have talking donkeys walking around, but the potential for such a thing to happen and to be brought into existence, that, okay, bear with me, you'll see why this is right. But everyone understand why potential is between that which is created and that which is not created? Yeah.
The creation of the Kihara swallowed the Korah.
I wouldn't say
the Korah had to be created, it's just that the potential for
Right, and the earth wasn't open, right? Or wasn't opening. But the world is created in such a way that the earth can open up.
But how does that apply to
the
Tina?
1,000%. It's not that the physical thing was there, but the potential for that, as I think that's we have throughout. But again, I'm not going to go case by case because that is a long thing. But so, yes. Why do you say that? You're talking about the first instant. You're talking about the whole Shesha Mebereshit. You mean that in the things that are created, there is potential for more? You're saying that we could theoretically add to this list.
They will exist.
Okay, Poseidon. You mean that, you're talking about the idea of la'asot that exists. I mean, there's a certain truth that's certainly true, but I think that this is something different than that. In other words, I think that that's a different issue, but we can discuss that later. But it's not at all the Ikar, it's the clue. Wait, we're only starting. Wait, well, give me a moment. What I'm saying is that they weren't created as something that existed in Metzius on an ongoing basis, but only there as a potential for something to happen. Okay, something to take place, something to happen. Let's go a step further. Okay, if this is just a suggestion, it relates only a little. I mean, it's helpful, I think, but it's not necessary for what we're going to discuss. The Gemara in Brachon at Afav Min Aleph, probably the key Gemara, says as follows. And if you look at the Ein Yaakov, where I want to share with you the beginning of it comes from one of the Mefarshim in the fine print on the side of the Ein Yaakov. I don't remember the exact name at the moment. I apologize, but it's one of those little, you can't miss it. If you look at the Ein Yaakov on this thing, look at the fine print, you'll see it immediately. Quotes one of the Achronim, says, who points to the Dvarim Rabbah that I asked you to look at in conjunction with Gemara Bracha. And what I wanted to share with you is the following, but I have to go very fast, so listen carefully. I wanted to give you at least the basic direction. It says like this, Ilmale nitna reshut l'ayin lirot, ein kober yichol amod p'nei amazikim, right? If the eye were given license to see, if it were allowed to see, ein kober yichol amod p'nei amazikim, no one could stand before the mazikim. Amar Abayi, inu nefishi minan, there are more of them than us. V'kaimalan kisal l'ugya, as they surround us all over, on all sides. Amar Ravuna, kochad v'chad minan, each one of us, alpha mismolei, there are 1,000 to his left, v'rava tamimineh, and there are 10,000 to his right. Meaning we're outnumbered, surrounded, the mazikim all around us. One of the Farshim points out that there's another chazal in Dvarim Rabbah, which you have right over here, which talks about the idea that the mazikim have a veil, right? Have a veil over their faces, and that when Hashem decrees, then the veil is removed, and then the mazikim are able to look at us and harm us. So this Mefarsh suggests that what is going on in our Gemara, what's Ilmale Nitna Rishud La'ayin Lirot, means if the ayin of the mazikim were allowed free reign, then they would destroy us immediately. We wouldn't be able to survive. I'd like to take that, but also build on it and expand it and qualify it a little bit. So one time, I was in the waiting room at a doctor's office because I had taken somebody to the doctor, and I was waiting for their appointment to be over, and I saw lying around there in the waiting room this big fat book, and it was like very, very thick and fat, and I started glancing at it. It was a fascinating book. It was just a description of all the known biological problems and diseases, and it was tens of thousands. This went on. I didn't count, but I was just like, a little paragraph about each one, or maybe a column or something, and it went on for thousands of pages. It was a very scary book. Very scary. You guys started flipping through the page and see all the things that potentially could go wrong with the human body, from within and from without, and if this malfunctions, that malfunctions, and and all of the bacteria and viruses that are around us and in us and all the time. And Baruch Hashem, we have an immune system and we're normally healthy and everything's fine. And now, I'm not talking about germs, I'm not talking about bacteria per se. That's only an example of what I mean. But what I mean is the following. It's just an illustration. What I mean is the following. I think Chazal are telling us the following idea. I want to say it very quickly and then we'll try to clarify. But we have very little time, so I want to say it very quickly. So we at least get the basic idea. I think Chazal are telling us a very beautiful idea. We walk around thinking that we're safe and secure and well most of the time. If nothing's wrong, Baruch Hashem, nothing's wrong, we're feeling fine, and people we know are feeling fine, and our family, everyone's well. So you get to Rifa'enu and okay, well, I don't need that one, we'll move on to the next one. You know, I'll say it, but it's nothing to particularly discuss. We walk around with a sense of security, whether it's in terms of being attacked or whether it's in terms of, whatever it is. We'll go on the bus and not thinking about terrorists or whatever, or go on, walk down the street and not worry about who else is there. Walk, don't think about what viruses we're exposed to or what could go wrong theoretically in our body and so on and so forth. Because normally the potential harms, the potential dangers, the potential threats to us, the mazikim, those potentials, which number in the tens of thousands easily. It's not an exaggeration to say 1,000 on this side, 10,000 on that side. They're always there. It's not that, if something comes from the blue, then it attacks us. They're always there. We know what happens. God forbid a person's immune system isn't working properly. We know that there's an ongoing battle within our bodies. The white cells and this, right? We all learn about this biology. We know what's really going on. We know that there is constantly, there are constant things around us, within us, etc., potential for harm. All kinds of things, not lavdavka, some of them biological, some of them in terms of other people, all kinds of different things, but all kinds of things that can happen any second. But Chazal say there's normally a veil. We're normally shielded from, we're normally protected, we're normally well, and normally the status quo is that we are protected physically from all these harms. Point one, but there's a point two. And the point two is what I think the Gemara is talking about. I think that the point that's made by this mefarish is very good, but I think one can go further. Ilmale nitna rishut la'ayin lerot means our eyes. If we were really able to be aware, normally, all the time, of what is really the threats that we live with and we're protected from an ongoing basis, we wouldn't be able to live like that. It's in order to be psychologically well, we have to have an illusion of being fine and secure. But Chazal say, and I just want to give you a quick illustration of what I mean by that. About 4 years ago, I think it was something like that. It's been about 4 years ago. We had a break-in in our house, and this gang came into, broke in Friday night, we were all asleep, and they primarily attacked me, Baruch Hashem, and we all came out of it fine. It was a tremendous, thank God, really a tremendous nes. We celebrate every year, we have a Surah Todah, that we were all safe from us, and everyone came out relatively unscathed. Everyone came out totally unscathed, physically, okimat, my wife a little bit, and me, I spent a few hours in the hospital. Baruch Hashem, thank God I have a very hard skull, and so despite their best attempts, no. This was in New York. Okay. Not in Israel. This was in a quiet little residential area where nothing ever happened. It was the first, everyone in the police force in the whole county knew me because it was the first violent incident in 16 years. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. Everyone had their doors on until this. Okay, anyhow, after this happened, Baruch Hashem, we're all fine, everything's good. And tell you, Nisim, it's not the point. But I had my laptop with my, everything, all my work for decades on it, and my laptop. No, this is a good story. Listen to this. A week before this happened, No, it was a week and a half. A week and a half before this happened, we were invited to go to Florida for Pesach and to give a bunch of shiurim, my wife and I, and we went with the kids, and we had the opportunity to have this, this swimming pool and house and that for a week, and just give these shiurim. Wonderful. Before I left, I did something that I hadn't done ever before. I decided, okay, we're going to be away from home for a week. You know what? I'm going to back up all the important files on my computer. I'm serious. I backed up onto one of these, little drives. I backed up and put, on a disk there, put it in the car, and was able to restore everything. Thank God. I lost the laptop, but I had everything, all the work was saved. Wow. Everything. I had, a rough copy of my safe file. Everything, you name it. It was all the source sheets, everything. Baruch Hashem. But what I want to say is the following. After this happened, and it was very violent. It was these three or four guys, we still aren't sure exactly because it was such a blur, but three or four guys woke me up and started hitting me on the head with this revolver and so on and so forth, tried to strangle me. It was a mess. For about 6 months afterwards, I'm fine. Baruch Hashem. We're all good. It's a very happy memory, but I won't explain to you. Not the incident, but I'm serious, we were saved from it, it was incredible. I just want to end with this. For a number of months afterwards, about a half a year, so I had, it was normal. I had post-traumatic stress syndrome, whatever it's called, and meaning that I would be at home and everything would be, normally you're at home and, you feel secure and safe and comfortable, and that was missing for several months, that I would, be nervous just being at home, hearing a little noise, whatever it is, for a number of months. Baruch Hashem, I'm over that, but for a period of time, we are doubly protected. We're protected physically, that most of the time, these tens of thousands of things that are surrounding us all the time, this potential for harm that's always with us, they don't come to fruition. 99.999 whatever percent of the time, we're protected biologically and physically, and all the things that could happen, and all the times that terrorists plan on attacking and they blow up their own bombs and work accidents and v'chule v'chule. We're protected by the mazikim on that level, but we're also protected psychologically, that normally we're healthy psychologically and we're oblivious to all the mazikim that surround us. And I think Chazal are telling us that we should be aware of that. Not that we shouldn't have that. We should have that sense of security. We should also realize when we say Rifa'enu, when we say Modim, we should be aware of the fact that we constantly are the beneficiaries of Hashem's Hashkacha and the way that Hashem set up the world, that we should be normally protected, both physically and psychologically, from the dangers, the harms that surround us, that are within us, that are without, all the time, in the tens of thousands. We should be aware of that. Not that we should be aware of it in the sense that we should be unwell psychologically and, nervous. And that. We should be aware of it, that it's something to think about from time to time when we dive and we think of it, we should be aware that we really need to ask Hashem for our health, that we really need to be thankful for it and thankful for the health of ourselves and others that are important to us and so on and so forth. There's a lot more to discuss, but I just wanted to give the basic kivun and suggest this is an idea that I think is very important. Again, I'm not claiming there aren't other ways of understanding it, but I wanted to just share with you a little bit of a train of thought, a direction. Bezrat Hashem, we will wrap up next time, just a few quick footnotes, and then move on to our next topic on Yom Sheni. Okay?
How long after this?